Blog Talk Radio. Aloha. Greetings and welcome, everyone. I'm Lana, and this is another session of the Coconut Wireless, broadcasting from Station Aloha in the Pacific Northwest. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Principles of change, of positive change. As humans, like all sentient things in our world, we seek safety and security above almost everything. This is one of our key instincts that forms part of the backdrop of our growth from child to adulthood. We learn from our parents, other people, and events. We experience as we grow up how to be loved and how to stay safe. Some of the lessons we may have learned worked for us as children, but are no longer appropriate as adults. Others are the product of difficult or traumatic experiences in the past, most usually during childhood, which have left a legacy of negative beliefs and thought patterns. Our thoughts, and therefore our lives, can be changed if you are truly ready to commit to the process of change. I know it works. I've seen it transform people's lives firsthand, including my own. If you're seeking to improve or change your life, then to achieve it using spiritual techniques, you'll have to integrate the following principles into your life. And don't panic. It's not something that anyone can do all at once. But by slowly finding ways to adopt these principles into your life, you'll grow spiritually and as a person. And from this inner strength and love, all change is possible. So we'll go over 9 principles for positive change. And then we'll talk about meditation as a technique to achieve change. It's one technique anyway. So 9 principles for positive change start out with my favorite, aloha, love and self-esteem as one aspect that characterizes aloha. And what do we mean by love and self-esteem? Love yourself and others and the world around you without limitations. Accepting yourself and everything around you with love. This is the ultimate focus of all our work. It's at the very center of everything. If you can truly love and accept yourself, then your life experience has no limits. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgive everyone and release the past. When we hold something unforgiven inside, we are nurturing anger, hatred, resentment, or maybe even guilt. These emotions lock us into the moment and drain mental and life energy. Holding such emotions inside long term will create sickness in the soul and dis-ease in the body. Awareness. Start living consciously. Become aware of your actions, your thoughts, and words. When you find yourself off principle or taking a negative perspective, stop yourself. Turn it around into something more positive and self-nurturing. you'll notice the change in the way people react to you because they will have noticed the change in you. Gratitude, prosperity, and abundance. Be open and grateful for our natural abundance. Our world is infinitely abundant. However, this natural flow of abundance can be blocked by a belief that we don't deserve things or a failure to recognize or appreciate what we already have. Honesty. Be honest with yourself and others. Without the ability to be honest, often brutally honest with oneself and with others, you will not be able to make progress with your changes. And this means abandoning all those little fibs and pretenses that can seem part of everyday life. To succeed with change, you must be prepared to face your truths and confront the fears that this exposes. Being positive. Start seeing the positive side of everything. A positive attitude not only boosts our natural immune system for better health, but also by thinking positively, we boost our performance in nearly everything we do. Taking responsibility for yourself. Take control of your life by recognizing that you alone are responsible for it, no one else. You are where you are today through your choices. By taking responsibility for yourself, you are better placed to start leading the life that you want and making choices that will lead you to the life you choose. Be open and trusting. Let go of all fear and trust in the process of life. Be open to all the amazing opportunities around you. Know that you have a unique place in the universe and deserve all the good things that life can bring. And finally, self-care. Start looking after yourself. To be effective in life, you need to be performing at your very best mentally, physically, and spiritually. Acts of self-care are acts of self-love and are essential to your well-being. Be kind to yourself and treat yourself with love. And those are principles for positive change. Greetings and welcome, everyone. I'm Lana, inviting you to another session of the Coconut Wireless, broadcasting from Station Aloha in the Pacific Northwest. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Greetings, friends. Love and blessings. Health and inner strength are coming forth to sustain you and help you open up your innermost being. I hope you will continue and cultivate this process of being your spiritual warrior so that you bring to life your entire being, all levels of your being, creating wholeness in you. At our last gathering, we said that meditation at its deeper level is not really a technique. It's an attitude that is all important. Meditation is a simple thing. It's not complex. It's not a matter of getting lost in the imagination. Meditation is to descend to the root of consciousness, to the root of the I, that ground where the I arises from the muck of the material. Today we'll begin to explore the process of meditation, which will then lead into a focus of communicating with the three voices inside each one of us, that of the ego, the lower self, and the higher self. In this session's chat, I want to talk about meditation. Of course, I've spoken about it many times before. I've mentioned that there are many aspects of and approaches to meditation. Now the time is ripe to speak about this important topic in a more comprehensive way, to help you to use this activity more effectively and meaningfully. To really understand the dynamics, the meaning, and the process of meditation, and derive the maximum benefit from it, you must be clear about certain psychic laws I've discussed elsewhere. One is that three fundamental layers of personality must be involved if meditation is to be truly effective. These three fundamental personality levels we may call: one, the conscious ego level, with all conscious knowing and willing. 2, the unconscious egotistical child level, with all its ignorance, destructiveness, and claims to omnipotence. And 3, the superconscious universal self, with its superior wisdom, power, and love, as well as with its comprehensive understanding of events in human life. In effective meditation, the conscious ego level activates both the unconscious, egotistical, destructive self and the superconscious, superior, universal self. A constant interaction among these three levels must take place, requiring a tremendous amount of alertness on the part of your conscious ego self. The conscious ego must be completely determined to allow the unconscious egotistical self to reveal itself, to unfold, to manifest in awareness, to express itself. This is neither as difficult nor as easy as it may seem. It is difficult exclusively, my friends, because of the fear of not being as perfect, as evolved, as good, as rational, as ideal, as one wants to be and even pretends to be. So that on the surface of consciousness, the ego becomes almost convinced of being the idealized self-image. This surface conviction is constantly counteracted by the unconscious knowledge that this image is untrue, with the result that secretly the whole personality feels fraudulent and terrified of exposure. It is a significant sign of self-acceptance and growth when a human being is capable of allowing the egotistical, irrational, outright destructive child to manifest in the inner awareness and acknowledges it in all its specific detail. This alone will prevent a dangerous indirect manifestation of which the person's consciousness is not aware because it is not connected with it, so that the undesirable results seem to come from outside. If your meditation is not to be a lopsided endeavor, it must deal with this kind of blindness. The egotistical infant's antisocial desires and claims, convictions, and attitudes must be exposed in exact detail. It seems hard to accept that there is something in you that is so very different from the way you want to be and the way you think of yourself. Meditation must constantly encourage this self-revelation, not only in a general sense, but primarily in specific daily situations that are unpleasant or unsatisfactory. The conscious ego has to reach down and say, "Whatever's in me, whatever's hidden that I ought to know about myself, whatever negativity and destructiveness there is, should be out in the open. I want to see it. I commit myself to seeing it, regardless of the hurt to my vanity. I want to be aware of how I deliberately refuse to see my part wherever I am stuck, and how I therefore over-concentrate on the wrongs of others. This is one direction for meditation. The other direction must be toward the universal higher self, which has powers that surpass the limitations of the conscious self. These higher powers should also be called upon to expose the destructive little self so that resistance can be overcome. The ego will alone may be incapable of accomplishing this, but the ego can and must meditate to request the higher powers to help. The universal consciousness should also be asked to help you to understand the expressions of the destructive infant correctly, without exaggeration, so that you don't go from ignoring it to making it a monster. A person can easily fluctuate from an outer self-aggrandizement to a hidden inner self-deprecation. When the destructive infant reveals itself, one could fall prey to believing that this destructive self is the ultimate sad reality. For a complete perspective on the revelation of the egotistic infant, one needs to ask constantly the guidance of the universal self. When the infant begins to express itself more freely, because the ego allows it and receives it as an interested, open listener, collect this material for further study. Whatever reveals itself should be explored for origins, results, further ramifications. What underlying misconceptions are responsible for the overt self-destruction, the hate, the spite, the malice, the ruthless self-will? When the misconceptions are being recognized, guilt and self-hate diminish proportionately. What are the consequences when, for the sake of a momentary satisfaction, you give in to these destructive impulses? When questions like these are clearly worked out, the inner determination to be destructive weakens, again, in proportion to the understanding of the particular cause and effect. If this part of the pathwork is glossed over and taken for granted, without particular and exacting insight, the task is only half done. Meditation must deal with the entire problem of unconscious negativity, step by step. The interaction is threefold. The observing ego must initially want it and commit itself to reaching in and exposing the negative side. It is also to ask for the help of the universal self. When the infant reveals itself, the ego should again ask for the help of the universal self to strengthen the consciousness for the further work, which is the exploration of the underlying misconceptions and the heavy price paid for them. The universal self can help, if you allow it, to overcome the temptation to give in again and again to destructive impulses. Such giving in doesn't necessarily result in action, but manifests in emotional attitudes. This type of meditation requires a great deal of time, patience, perseverance, and determination. Remember that wherever you are unfulfilled, wherever there are problems, wherever there is conflict in your life, your attitude should not be too concentrated with woe on others or circumstances outside your control, but to reach into yourself and explore the causes embedded in your own egocentric, childish level. Meditation is an absolute prerequisite here. It means ingathering yourself calmly, quietly, wanting to know the truth of this particular circumstance and its causes. Then you need to quietly wait for an answer. In this state of mind, peace will come to you even before you fully understand why you have a particular negativity. This truthful approach to life will already give you a measure of the peace and self-respect you lacked as long as you held others responsible for what you had to suffer. If such meditation is cultivated, you'll discover a side of yourself that you have never known. In fact, you'll come to know two aspects. The highest universal powers will communicate themselves to you to help you discover your most destructive, ignorant side, which needs insight, purification, and change. Through your willingness to accept your lower self, the higher self will become more of a real presence in you. In fact, you will increasingly experience it as your real self, so that despair about being bad, weak, inadequate will fall by the wayside. Many people meditate, but they neglect the two-sidedness of the endeavor and therefore miss out on integration. They may indeed actualize some of the universal powers that come into play wherever the personality is sufficiently free, positive, and open. But the unfree, negative, closed areas are neglected. The actualized universal powers will not by themselves enforce an integration with the undeveloped part of the self. The conscious ego self must decide for this integration and fight for it. Otherwise, the universal self cannot get through to the blocked off areas. Partial integration alone with the universal self may lead to even greater self-deception if the consciousness is deluded by the actually existing partial integration with divine powers and becomes even more prone to overlook the neglected side. This makes for lopsided development. And thus is our process, my friends, to focus our meditation on the three voices inside each one of us, the ego, the lower self, and the higher self. And this process defines our progress towards self-responsibility, the metal of a spiritual warrior. Thank you for listening to another session of the Coconut Wireless. This is Lana. Ahuiho no kako malama kekahi'i kekahi. Signing off, and until the next time, take care of one another. Aloha ke akua.